Hey everybody, it's Rick. I want to welcome you back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. This week we're going to finish Philippians chapter 2, and then we'll take a break, just like we did after chapter 1. So this week, as we do the end of chapter 2, we want to really talk about Christian service and what it means to be adequate in that service to Christ. And so as I prepared this message, like all of them, I've done a ton of research, right? I started to dig in to this, you know, these last 10 or 11 verses. And I think one thing that I've realized is honestly how much I enjoy Philippians. I enjoy it even more than I ever have because of the amount of time that I've spent in it and really the amount of time I've spent with God. And so in this last, these last verses of this chapter, we're going to see a couple key themes, and they're pretty simple to identify, right? One of the themes is service, and the other theme is friendship. And so as we do this, we have to, I think, look at history. We have to look at our history to kind of understand things other people have done in their service to Christ and things that they have wished for and prayed for. And so I'm going to start this with asking a question. I think I probably ask a ton of questions, but I want you to really think about different things. And so if you haven't heard of who Dr. Daniel Poling is, I challenge you to go research him. I mean, you can just go to Wikipedia and look him up. That's what I did. But in Wikipedia, it talked about, you know, he's for many years he was the editor of the Christian Herald and he was the president of Christian Endeavor International. But as you start to do more and more digging, you recognize that he had several sons. He had a son who was also a minister, and that son was one of the four chaplains that was on the ship Dorchester in World War II. Now, that ship went down off the British coast early on in World War II. And these four chaplains who went down with the ship, they gave their life vests to other people. There wasn't enough to go around, and so they made sure that somebody else had them. What's interesting is before the ship set sail, Dr. Poling's son had written a letter to his family. And that letter said, "I know I shall have your prayers, but please don't pray simply that God will keep me safe. War is a dangerous business. Pray that God will make me adequate." And I think that is important as we look at our Christianity and our walk with Christ today, right? Pray that God will make me adequate. We should always pray to be adequate in the service to Christ. I know I pray to be adequate. And in these last chapters of these last verses of chapter 2, Paul will show us the meaning of adequacy in Christian service in the way that he commended Timothy and Epaphroditus, the way he commended them to the church in Philippi. All right, so I want to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30, and then we're going to just unpack it a little bit like I always do. So we'll start with verse 19. "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me this sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. So as we finish the second chapter in Philippians, we see that Paul follows up with two examples of servants who demonstrate a humble obedience to God. And those two are Timothy and Epaphroditus. We start with the recognition that since Paul's incarcerated, it's impossible for him to visit Philippi, right? He's in chains. He's in Rome. We read through that and learned that in chapter one. So he can't go. He had referred to this in verse 12 of chapter earlier in this chapter, but his deep concern for his friend's spiritual warfare prompted him to send Timothy to visit and minister in his place. So he's so concerned with the church in Philippi, with the Philippians themselves, with his friends, with their spiritual needs that he sends Timothy. Now, at this time, Timothy is Paul's companion, and we see that based on the beginning of this letter. Because in chapter 1, verse 1, where it starts off, it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Except the difference is Timothy's not in prison. He's not incarcerated or in chains like Paul. He can come and go. And so he can go to Philippi. And the Philippians had sent Epaphroditus to care for Paul during his imprisonment. And we saw that in verse 12, right? Or verse 25, I'm sorry. So now Paul prepares to send Timothy to care for the Philippians in verse 19. Timothy was held up as an example that believers should follow because he served Christ by humbly serving the Apostle Paul. And I think sometimes we celebrate the people who serve in the spotlight more than those who faithfully serve behind the scenes, right? At this time, Timothy's behind the scenes and Paul's out front, right? Everybody knows who Paul is. But God weighs our faithfulness regardless of the venue of our service. You know, when you decide to serve or minister, do you do it only when the situations arise that you're going to be recognized? Or do you always do it? Do you do it regardless? I know for me, it's something I think about all the time. I know I'm being called to be out front. I know I'm being called to do things publicly like this podcast. But this is by far not the only way I serve. And I'm not going to sit here and go into detail about that. We need to be faithful and minister regardless of whether it's in public or in private while we're in service to Christ. While we're here on earth in service to Christ, we have to be faithful. And then we'll move on to verse 20. And in verse 20, Paul gives Timothy a commendation. He says, he said that no one else he could send to the church would care for them like he would. That no one could sympathize with others and have a real concern for them and their problems. You see, to sympathize with people means to feel them in their troubles at that moment. Right. I want you to ask yourself, have you ever sat and thought about what it means to honestly feel others in their troubles? I know we say, I'll pray for you as Christians. I say it a lot. And while honestly, praying for somebody is the best thing you can do for them, sometimes they just need a little bit more than that. Sometimes they need something else. They need something in addition to that prayer. You know, sometimes it means that you just simply have to sit with them and understand their troubles. You have to simply sit with them and understand what they're going through. You know, maybe they're troubled by the death of a friend or a family member. Maybe they just need somebody to sit there while they cry. Sympathizing means to feel for them in the moment that they need you to. Still pray for them. Like I said, that's the best thing you can do for them. But people also need that emotional connection as well. They need to feel that you're present, that you're there. Then we move to verse 21. Paul tells us that people look out for their own interest, not necessarily the interest of Christ. So, you know, this verse does appear to kind of be a broad claim, right? Did Paul mean to include everybody he ever knew except for Timothy? Did he mean that, you know, all of those who were near him in Rome, none of them compared to Timothy? Did he mean all others whom he might have contacted, are more interested in their own interests than those of Christ? You know, to me, my opinion is it's the second one, right? That seems, you know, probably a little bit closer, right? That no one in Rome, none of them compared, nobody that was near him while he was in chains, none of them compared to Timothy. Again, that's my opinion, right? But Timothy stood out as a rare individual, right? In a world of self-seekers, in a world of people who care more about their own interests, Timothy was a rare gem, right? I mean, we can just look back to chapter 1 and verse 15 where, you know, Paul tells us it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. We have to, you know, we have to recognize that. I ask myself that every day. Why am I doing this? And I just spend more and more time with the Lord to make sure that what I'm doing is what he wants. And then we move to verse 22. You know, Paul follows that up with saying, you know, he follows up verse 21 and saying, Timothy has proved himself to them. And I thought that was interesting that he says, Timothy's already proved yourself, right? Timothy was no stranger to the Philippians. And as we read through Acts, right, in Acts 16, 11 through 40, I'm not going to read them all. Timothy's not mentioned, right? It talks about Paul and Silas. But there are passages that surround those in Acts that do seem to suggest that he was with Paul and Silas. You know, in Acts 16, 1 through 3, it says, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers of Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was Greek. So that is before Acts 16, 11 through 40. But then after that, in Acts 17, verses 14 through 15, it says that the believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea. Those who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join them as soon as possible. Through serving the gospel with Paul, Timothy came to share Paul's concerns and values. So like I said, while it doesn't say that Timothy was with them when they originally went to Philippi, I think he was. I think that's why he wasn't a stranger. I think that's why Paul says he's already proved yourself. He's already proved himself to you. And then we move to verses 23 and 24. We see that Paul wants news from Philippi through Timothy, right? He wants to know what's going on. But he also wants Timothy to take some news to the Philippians. So it's necessary for him to wait until the outcome of Paul's trial, right? Whether he's going to be released or whether he's going to be executed, right? And Paul, you know, he's in good spirits. He thinks there's a chance that he's going to be released here. And, you know, but if he's not, Philippians 1, you know, is where Paul described how death would be good because he would be with Christ. But, you know, he needed to be alive for the Philippians. And, you know, he does have hope. He has hope of his release. He has hope that he would be able to soon come to Philippi. And he says that. And then we move to verse 25, and that's where we meet Epaphroditus, right? And to my knowledge, like I did a little bit of research, these are the only verses, right, in this paragraph and in Philippians 4:18, where we hear about Epaphroditus. It's the only time where it is said that the Philippians sent their gifts to Paul through him. So this made him their messenger, right? Epaphroditus was the messenger of the Philippians, but he was also, he wasn't just a messenger. He was sent with the intention that he would stay with Paul, that he would care for Paul's needs. And I think it's important that we notice the words that were used, right? We notice the partnership involved in these words, right? Paul uses the words brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. Many Christians are amazing workers, and many of them are amazing soldiers in this cause. But not all of them work well with others. And by Paul saying, my fellow soldier, my co-worker, my brother, he's describing Epaphroditus as somebody who works well with others. And I think that's an important distinction, right? He's telling people, look, he works great. Thank you for sending him. But then we move to 26, verses 26 and 28, and something happened, right? Something happened that made Paul send Epaphroditus back to Philippi. Instead of keeping him there to care for his needs like the Philippians wanted, something occurred. And what happened was he became critically sick. He was sick. But by the mercy of God, he recovered. Now, that report of his sickness, of how sick he was, had gotten back to the church in Philippi. And that news had come back of the anxiety of his friends, right? There was this large amount of anxiety from his friends and family in Philippi that he was critically ill. And this caused, you know, this caused some distress for them. This caused distress to Epaphroditus, and it caused him anxiety because in his heart he began to long to be home. He wanted to be home to ease that anxiety of their friends and family, to ease the anxiety of the church. And so Paul recognized that it was best for him to go back to Philippi. And then we move on to 29 and 30, and Paul recognizes that this is a sensitive situation. He recognizes that there's this risk of sending him back, that some people are going to be upset because he's supposed to be there to care for them. That there's this possibility of a misunderstanding for why he returned. He doesn't want people to think he returned because he was homesick or anything, that he couldn't do it. So Paul tells them, he calls on them to receive him with a warm heart. Not just one of like, hey, welcome home, hope your trip was good, but with a warm-hearted Christian welcome, because Epaphroditus was highly honored. He was to be highly honored for his faithfulness and the service he had given. We don't know how he almost died, but we know that he almost did for the work of Christ, that he risked his life. And it may be simply that he risked his life by, you know, identifying with Paul, that he was, you know, friends of Paul's, that he was the messenger and a caretaker for Paul. Or maybe they got sick on the road, nearly died to complete his journey. That he was so sick that he was unfit to travel and almost killed himself doing it. But he still went. He gambled his life in serving Paul. But it was a risk he was willing to take for God, and he won. And so Paul's telling him, receive him because he's highly honored. Receive him with favor. And so as we try to kind of put all of this together, what we all should desire is to be adequate in our service to Christ. That we are adequate in what we do, that we're doing it for the right reasons, regardless of what happens. Like Epaphroditus, he could have died, but he kept going. Like Dr. Poling's son, they gave up their life vests for people who needed them because it was more important that they live. I pray that this message makes you stop and think. It makes you stop and think of your service to Christ. How can you be more adequate? That doesn't mean go out and do more. That doesn't mean go out and you know, stand on a soapbox and preach and beat people over the head with a Bible. You don't have to be up front to be an adequate servant of Christ. Maybe you just need to sit with somebody and cry in their time of need. Maybe your service is to sympathize with them when they need it. Maybe that's what God's calling you to do. Again, this is Rick with the Nomad Pastor Podcast. I really appreciate you guys listening. I hope this message touched you and makes you think about what that service looks like and what your service looks like. If you got questions, concerns, thoughts, conversation, you want to just chat, you need me to pray for you, shoot me an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. If you like the podcast, subscribe so that you get notifications you know, when the next one comes out every Wednesday. Again, I appreciate it, and I hope you have a blessed week. Thanks.